Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do?" Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we enter into part 4 of this second Easter octave, this mystagogical catechesis on the role of the Eucharist in the Christian life in order to allow us to come into a true life-changing encounter with the risen Lord Jesus, so that he might raise us entirely from the dead, so that the life we now live in the flesh, we might not live by bios, but by zoe, by this risen divine life that God wants to give us, not just later, but now. In this dialogue in the Capernaum synagogue, we've gotten to a stage in which, after Jesus called out what their false intentionality was, that they were seeking him for a free meal rather than to be fed with the nourishment that he had come into the world to give them, they started to engage in a theological argument. They knew that what Jesus had done was a miraculous sign, and they were thinking about another miraculous sign in which God fed the Israelites miraculously for 40 years in the desert. So they immediately, evoking the scene, said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you?" "Yeah, maybe I'll take 5 buns and 2 sardines and feed a crowd of 25,000. How's that? Maybe I'll walk on water. How's that? Maybe I'll heal withered man's hands, make blind men see, make paralyzed men walk, cast out demons, all of which I've done here already in Capernaum. How's that?" But no, none of that is getting to the type of work of God that Jesus had described yesterday, to believe in the one the Father had sent. They pitched to Jesus, "Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Can you top that?" And Jesus reminded them first, swearing an oath, that it wasn't Moses who worked this miracle, it was God. And the same God who worked that miracle through Moses' petition was giving them an even greater miracle. "My Father gives you the true bread come down from heaven." What is that true bread? We have to think about this when we think about our contact with Jesus, and we think specifically about the way we approach the Eucharist and help others to approach the Eucharist. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The Eucharist is meant precisely to give life to the world. Without the Eucharist, there is no Zoe. We've got to repeat that. Unless we gnaw on Jesus' flesh and drink his blood, as he will say to us later in this catechesis, we have no life in us. But if we gnaw on his flesh and drink his blood, we will have eternal life. The purpose of the Eucharist. There is a goal. The Eucharist is, in a sense, a means. God's trying to do something to us when we come into encounter with him in the Eucharist. It's to give life, not just to our souls, but to the whole world. He wants to enliven us in such a way that we can become his instruments of resurrection in the middle of the world. Sisters, just a little parenthesis. That's you. As St. John Paul II wrote in that beautiful prayer at the end of Vita Consecrata, living signs of the resurrection. Signs that effectuate what it signifies, not just symbols. Let's come back. So they say, somewhat prophetically, but without a consciousness of really what they were asking for, "Sir, give us this bread always." They, again, were thinking a little bit too much in materialistic terms, just like God had rained down manna for 40 years. They would go out and they would be able to survive every day off of that. They were asking for that same celestial provision. And God was going to give them something more. He was, in fact, going to answer this prayer. But in order for them to be able to profit from it, they needed to have faith. That's why Jesus said in response to it, "I am that bread of life." They wanted it to be given to him always, and God was going to do so, but they had to accept him. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger." In other words, all his deepest desires will be fulfilled. But really got to come. The whole of the person has got to come. It's not just an external collision. It's not only just a bumping in with a little part of our life. But when the whole of us comes to him, our desires will be fulfilled. We will never hunger. If we really believe in him, he will quench our deepest thirsts, such that we'll never thirst again, because he is that living water springing up within us to eternal life. Jesus, in fact, wants to answer this prayer and more. Jesus is going to go on to describe how he is the true manna. And I think it's important for us to pause on what this means and how important it is in our life so that we never take it for granted. And how important it is for us to be able to spread this throughout the church. You know, in the desert, every day they had to go out and pick up that manna. On the sixth day of the week, they'd be able to pick it up for 2 days. So that they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath, but they'd still have to eat it on the Sabbath. It's a little bit of a foretaste of what we do on Holy Thursday night, which we prepare the Eucharist likewise for the Passover of Good Friday, and we consume what the Lord has given us the previous day. And Jesus, as the true manna, comes down always. He taught us to pray to the Father, "Give us today our supersubstantial bread," or epiousios, bread. God the Father has, in fact, given us Jesus every day. But just like a Jew in the desert may have been able to go a second or a third day without eating any of the, what is this, the manna, that looked like coriander seed with a little bit of honey. Even though they could have gone a second day or a third day without eating it, eventually they would. If they were only eating the manna once a week, they wouldn't have the strength that they would need to remain faithful to the Lord and strong in the midst of the desert. God wanted them to eat every day. He didn't force them to eat every day, but he provided every day. And they wisely ate, because a lot of the times we're very attentive to our material needs. The same Lord provides life to the world every day and raining down his sun. And yet 97% of Sunday Mass going Catholics are oblivious to this truth. 97% good people. People who love the Lord, but who just don't live truly Eucharistic lives because they think they can live a Monday without God's nourishment poured down from heaven, or a Tuesday, or a Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday. One of the most beautiful things that the religious life and the priesthood is meant to show to the world is a life that is based on what God gives us every day. That not because we're better than anybody, but because we realize all our weaknesses. We go to the Lord and we ask Him, Sir, give us this bread always. Rain down from heaven our supersubstantial bread. And God the Father responds to that prayer so that His life might be in us, and through us that life given to the world. Salvation of the world is going to come through allowing God to do His holy work. But when He offers us this incredible gift, we've got to help the whole world come to receive it. You know, I think with regard to the gift of the Eucharist, many of us are worse than the worst kids on Christmas. And we've all met those spoiled kids who beg for all of these material gifts, but then when they come, their attention span wanes. Some of the times they don't even open the gifts. Some of the times they do open the gifts, they might use it for a day, but then the gifts remain fundamentally underutilized or unutilized. Sometimes we treat the Lord like that. Give us today our daily bread, and He does. He gives us His Son on the altar, the living bread, and most people don't come to receive Him. So one of the most important apostolates that we have, no matter whom we're serving, is to be able to bring them to what the Lord gives. And here in New York, our work, thanks be to God, is easy. Because there are daily masses everywhere. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. In so many places of the Catholic world, people wouldn't have access to daily mass without serious inconvenience. But we have masses all around us. And this is an opportunity for us to help people to live truly Eucharistic lives. No matter what the state of their soul, they can at least attend, and God will feed them in some way or another with His word that could bring about a conversion that could get them to receive it. What's the power of this life-changing transformation? When Jesus implants Himself as the life of our soul for the salvation of the world, it makes us different. When we allow Him to do His work at the level with which He wants to do it, we are changed. And in today's gospel, in today's first reading, we see one of the glimpses of that change. Saint Stephen, still a neophyte. He had been a Catholic at most for 6 years by this point. If you want to accept the latest of all the predictions of when this martyrdom would have occurred in 36 AD. So at most he was 6 years a Catholic, but probably much less. He had already been distinguished by the way that he was moved by the Holy Spirit and with wisdom. And he was preaching. He had been fed by the Word of God in such a way that that Word took on his flesh. And he was with the face like an angel, radiantly spreading that mystery. How Jesus was the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament, and how forgiveness of sins was being offered to everyone now live. But they didn't want to hear it. They covered their ears. They ground their teeth at him. And with fury, they rushed upon him, threw him out of the city, and began to stone him. And what happened as he was being stoned? You know, for all of us who have been outside what's now called St. Stephen's Gate in Jerusalem, when you look down into that cavity where he likely would have been killed, as the stones are raining down, what would be the first thing you'd ask? probably the first thing I would ask is, Lord, help me, or Lord, save me, or something like that, which is not the cry of somebody with no faith. But that probably would be our first cry. What was his cry? Not, Lord, get me out of this mess. But Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He wasn't afraid to die in the least. And he was asking the Lord to receive what he was regularly giving the Lord. He was giving him his soul. He was giving him his body. He was dedicating to him his entire life. Since this was the exclamation point of a long litany of self-gift. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he had so interiorized Christ that his mercy took on St. Stephen's own flesh. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And the Lord would in fact hear that prayer. Not only would he not hold the sin against the one at whose feet everyone was laying his cloak because he was presiding over the execution, Saul of Tarsus, but he would in fact convert Saul into the great ambassador of the Lord's mercy throughout the entire world because of the life that St. Stephen had received from Jesus, that living bread come down from heaven. That even as he was dying, he was prayerfully imparting that life into the one who was trying to end his life. And eventually Saul would meet that same Savior, hold him in his hands, receive him within, and have the joy of giving him to others. That's the power, that's the life, that's the Zoe that Christ wishes to place in us. We might be blinded sometimes by our weaknesses, by our struggles, by all we have to confess every single week. But we should never forget that the one we receive has the ability to raise every part of us from the dead. And even in our worst moments, even in those supreme stresses, even when the mobs come on us, that's when that life can shine. And that's when that life will pass into its fulfillment, because that Zoe can never be killed. Today we ask St. Stephen to help us to receive this gift, this daily supersubstantial manna that the Father gives us, with the same faith and the same response with which he did, so that we might, as he did, bring this life to raise whatever is dead in the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen forever.